Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, good afternoon to you. A very warm welcome from everyone here at Ausbiz to The Call. So over the next hour, we will discuss 10 stocks in detail, plus one stock of the day with my expert guests here with me today, Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics and Philip Pepe from Sean Partners. Hello to you both.
Nice
to see you today. So we have had a few companies coming out either with confessions, so-called, or downgrades, and we've got the Macquarie Conference knocking on our door. It starts on Tuesday. Are we in the kind of environment, Mathan, where we're going to see more of these coming to the fore?
Yeah, I think so. It's the mini reporting season. It's become now. So people will be putting out updates, presentation updates, and there will be a few shocks, and usually is. And when you've got a market that's trying to work out where the rates are going and where the multiples are going to be, any kind of shock is going to be get an over I suppose, a exaggerated move.
Well, we saw Bapcor last week.
Exactly.
I mean, was that justified?
I think that's a fair enough call because it's not the first downgrade. You had a massive downgrade in September and you had a CEO that left before he became a CEO. That just told you.
Yeah, you should have known something was happening at Bapcor.
I mean, it shouldn't have been a surprise.
And Philip, whereas sometimes we focus on the bad news, there's lots of good news out there as well. And I thought of you when I saw Southern Cross Electrical coming out to upgrade its profit today.
It did. It won a $160 million contract with the Western Australian government to help build battery storage. Mm-hmm. Look, there are sectors that are doing well. There are sectors that are still growing. There are sectors where we kind of don't know. We assume benefit of the doubt. And then you get a trading update and realize that, oh dear, we were a little bit too quick to assume things are recovering. But I mean, if we focus on the companies growing off a lower base, some of the new sectors, anything in relation to data centers or greenification, as someone called it this morning, there's endless revenue in sight for those companies because it's new and it's growing and people are throwing more money at it than less. So you can't have all of those in your portfolio, but you need to have some of them because they're in upgrade mode. Whereas some of the others that we'll talk about today, perhaps the best is behind them and they keep missing. Analysts keep giving the benefit of the doubt. Eventually you stop doing it and say, well, let's just move on and find something else.
I hope this isn't a fizzle
but
today.
That, Southern Cross is in that sector that's been hasn't been discussed much at all, which is the mining and the professional services.
Yeah.
So like I think a lot of those, we all know that they're not the Buffett stocks, right? They are volatile, they're high risk. But they were priced for a lot of things going wrong because they had weak contracts going down the drain. When those things turned around, a lot of mining services and professional services have done really well. Yeah. But it's not sexy, so no one talks about it. But a lot of them have gone, I know, Pepe, you talk
you
about
saw,
it.
You
but
saw you, my title.
Yeah.
I know. My title is sexy and I know it.
Yeah, I had to throw that in. But the reality is they've done multiples. Like a lot of the mining services have run 3-4 times. Professional services have done multiples. So, people looking for the next Apple, but you're there to make money. This sector is doing well.
And some of the companies have evolved. Like the traditional mining services or contracts were servicing the mining companies out in Western Australia. Fixed price contracts in some cases went wrong. They've all learned from those mistakes and they've moved not just to East Coast, but in more less price sensitive, cost plus type environments into sectors that are growing. There's a lot more revenue that people give them the benefit out for. So I think the tide is changing on the contractors.
All right, we'll leave that there, guys. And I will remind you that the new edition of the investment committee will be put online tomorrow after the market close. And Southern Cross Electrical was up for discussion. I'm not going to give it away. But we'll see if it makes it into the Ausbiz Fantasy Portfolio. We'll see if any of the stocks that we'll be talking about today get put to the investment committee. We will be covering Endeavor Group. Good, because we've got some new information from the company today. Adbri, Bapcor, Deep Yellow and ImpediMed. ImpediMed came up on another viewer question that just came in today. So we'll see what's happening there. But the stock of the day is GrainCorp. It's out with an update and its preliminary results. And it's warned that business volumes are declining. So the company expects to report underlying earnings of $164 million, down significantly from $383 million in the previous corresponding period. Net profit after tax expected to be $57 million versus $200 million a year ago. Operating conditions and the outlook leading into the second half of FY24, it also says, have softened. So underlying earnings has been adjusted down to a range of $250 to $280 million net profit. Expectations revised down to between $60 and $80 million. So the CEO, Robert Spurway, saying that, you know, that decline in overall volumes handled across the East Coast and lower end-to-end supply chain and crust margins have come through relative to the first half of 2023. Its share price is down by 2.5% to $8.19, just past noon here in Sydney. Oh boy. Guys, Nathan, I'll start with you. That's quite a downgrade coming through.
Yeah, but I think the market to a certain extent expected it. Agri sector, when it's down 2%, that's like day-to-day trading. It's a rounding error. Yeah, if it's not down by 10% or 20%, then you're happy. I think GrainCorp, to a certain extent, they set a low expectations at the AGM, as they always do. And they tend to beat that. So in time, I think they'll do better. But we did see grain prices. There's a fair amount of supply coming out of US. They've had a great couple of years. So there is that holding back the prices. So in context, I think it's okay. 2% down, you know, in a bad result, it's great. It's actually positive for me, in the agri sector. So in that context, we're not in GrainCorp. We actually prefer Elders, and I know Pepe will like it. I know he looks at this sector. We used to work together before and he was looking at this sector, so I'm not shocked by the fact that he will know enough about it. So look, I think it's fine. If you're there, I'll be holding it. But I prefer Elders on a risk return basis. I'm also looking at rural funds. I think that's a pretty decent safe play. It's a good yield and I think it's undervalued for what it is. And I think the overall agri sector continues to do well. The market is underestimating inflation. It has been for years. And the food is one of the inflation plays. So I suspect over time, and erratic weather is happening around the world, supply chains are hard, geopolitics mm-hmm. is another thing. So all of these things, I think, for food is good. So I think agri sector, just be aware, you have to live with high volatility.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these things get
bumped. Interesting to note that RBC Capital says that it was surprised by this miss, saying that because GrainCorp has historically taken a very, you know, constructive approach to its guidance, that it was caught off guard. Also because it had been saying that, you know, the recent rains and the market commentary has been all talking up, you know, near-term positivity for some of these companies. And what did you make of this update coming through? Were you caught off guard?
Well, no, I wasn't. But when I saw, because we had the Elders trading update 2 weeks ago, so we had a peer come out and say, you guys are all looking, and gals are looking forward, which is great, but we're not through FY24 yet, and FY24 is actually challenging. So mm-hmm. we had someone give us a warning saying, although the future's looking bright because of rainfall and livestock prices, etc., that's FY25, particularly first half 24, was challenging. Mm-hmm. Trading update sure. from Elders 2 weeks ago. So when I saw the headlines from GrainCorp versus consensus, I thought, why was consensus so different when we had a trading update from a peer 2 weeks ago? And the share price barely moved, as Nathan said, 2% for an ex-stock is nothing. So the fund managers understood it. The real consensus that we don't get to see, the fund managers, the people who write the checks, they kind of expected this was coming and have shrugged it off, and they shrugged it off because FY25 still looks okay. It was a miss versus consensus versus their guidance, but given the share price reaction, people probably didn't believe it or were waiting to see. So normally the market focuses too short a term. Mm-hmm. This is one rare occasion where the market's saying, yeah, we know FY24 has been volatile, cattle prices, rainfall, but, you know, we've had already in April, at least in New South Wales, you know, in the first 6 days, almost a month's worth of average rainfall. Not quite. People think we've had 100 millimeters of rain versus 125 that we normally get. So this winter is shaping up to be pretty decent, which will impact both these companies FY25. So for me, perhaps consensus stuck to guidance too closely, should have taken it with a little bit more cynicism. Pays a good dividend yield. If they don't cut it, 6% dividend yield, it's a little bit cheap. There'll be some downgrades overnight. I'm going to call it a hold because analysts should have known this. The share price suggests that many people did call it a hold.
It's a hold for GrainCorp for both of my guests. Let's get to the first stock that has been picked by you, and that is Endeavor Group. If I was smart, I would have got the news up in front of me, but it did update the market today. And I read this story earlier. It appeared as if it was a pretty strong update coming through, Phil.
It was a quarterly update on a adjusted for Easter basis. Their revenue grew about 1% on the quarter, both for food and liquor and hotels, which is basically gaming, as I understand it. So it looked okay. I think the share price has barely moved. The interesting thing for this one is the outlook they've given, or their targets that came out of their strategy day last year. They do about 2/3 of their EBIT is food and bev, about 1/3 is hotels, which is mostly gaming. And they're trying to increase margins in food and bev from about 2% to, I think, 6 to 8. And are trying to increase their profits in gaming or hotel and leisure. What are the alarm bells at the moment? Food and beverage company saying we want to increase margins off the back of Coles and Woolies being grilled by the ACCC. Good luck with that. And any sort of company trying to do better in terms of gaming in all these regulatory reviews and everyone trying to stop people spending money on gaming. So they're not exactly in sexy sectors at the moment in terms of liquor and gaming. Although they have correct aspirations to grow those profits, I just think the headwinds at the moment are just far too strong. If there's a sector where you want to proceed with caution, it's any retailer, food retailer, saying we're going to increase our margins despite what Coles and Woolies just went through by putting prices up in part and getting better profits out of gaming, which they're entitled to do because it's legal. I just think there's easier ways to make money. Endeavor Group's a little bit cheap, you know, 10% cheap versus consensus, 4% dividend yield. I just think there's easier ways to make money, and I'm going to call it a sell just because they're in the wrong sector. Nothing against the company other than this is yesterday's sector, and going forward, alcohol and gambling are difficult pills to swallow for more and more investors.
Sorry, so you said sell?
Sell, yeah.
Are we selling Endeavor?
Wrong sector.
Look, I can understand where he's coming from. I mean, we were in it through the divestment from Woolies. We got out, I think it was like $7 or something. It got to $8 in 2022, partly because, one, we were worried about the consumer, interest rates. Two, New South Wales election was coming and we had uncertainty on how the pokies was going to play out. And hospitality was, you know, you had the revenge travel all priced in. So there was a fair bit in there with a lot of risk. And that's played out. So you've seen it come off for all of those reasons. But I don't think we have clarity on that. I mean, we've had everyone from Macca's down in the US reporting weak consumer spending. Hospitality stocks are not doing well.
So, yeah, even Starbucks.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, this is a bad example, but when my son goes to sports, when he comes back, we always get Macca's on the way home. And a couple of months ago, they started doing the deal where you get a two deal, where you get for the price of, I think $25 odd, I'm not marketing Macca's here, $25 odd, you get two large meals.
Yes, my 12-year-old was telling me about this, and I didn't believe it.
And you get two mini burgers, right? Yeah. So you're literally getting two meals and two mini burgers for the less than two burger meals. And when you read the US McDonald's report, and management is basically saying they're fighting for everything. They're giving better deals. And it just reminds me of what happened with Pizza Hut when they were doing $5 pizzas where the franchisees weren't making any money, but because they make money. There is fight there, which means margins are getting crushed. It's tough. Hospitality is tough out there. So that part is struggling. The gambling is still, there's a regulatory risk, as Phil said. That's going to hang over them. And it's just too hard. And you're right. I just think there's multiple pieces to it. I actually liked it before because our view was this potentially could become like the Bunnings of alcohol. Yeah. And they potentially could, and that could still play out. But in the short to medium term, there's too many other pieces under threat. And I actually think we are finally starting to see consumers crack. We're actually seeing spending. I mean, Woolies have told us locally, one of Phil's favorites, even Smiggle had a weak result, right? Even Smiggle. And so in that context, there are signs locally and globally that consumers are starting to struggle. And this is going to play into that. So for me, it's just too hard basket.
So we've sold. We're going to sell Endeavor. All right, we'll put that on the list. Thank you. Let's go to Adbri. So Adbri, isn't Adbri, well, we'll get to this, and I forget who this is for, but thank you for submitting it. Adbri, it's for Howard. It's got an offer on the table.
Yeah.
It's going to no longer be listed.
Yeah, look, take your money and run. Take your money and run. I mean, if you look at the comparison to construction sector in the US, I think it's like 100 and something percent higher than pre-pandemic. It's at insane multiples. Everything is assumed that we're going to keep going. Everyone's already priced in rate cuts. Now the optimism is, well, it's not going to go up. But that was never the case. It's just a spin. The reality is interest rates are probably going to remain elevated for a lot longer. I just don't think you can have high asset prices and cost of living coming down. It just doesn't work. So you need both of them to readjust. You've got, you know, if someone's bidding on these stocks like ABC, CSR, you know, just go, thank you, God. You're a peak cycle. Someone wants to pay the premium. Love you. Take it and go somewhere else.
Yeah, Phil, there's not really going to be any listed building and materials companies like Adbri. I mean, CSR.
CSR is a few borrow. It's an interesting one because, again, carbon emissions, a lot of these companies get pinged by the carbon emission, concrete, cement. I think 8% of the world's carbon emissions are in the space. So they've been trying to make themselves green, but we're not there yet. And they did win a government grant recently, $50 million, to try and help them do that. But it is about the M&A, and the stock hasn't traded anywhere near 320 for several years. I think the last time it was above that was in June 2021. Did get as high as 380, 384. So the debate now is, does someone come over the top? You got one shareholder, a family that owns nearly 43%. What are their views? Are they selling? Are they not selling? I've played this game before where it would make sense for someone else to come over the top. So you hold on, then it doesn't happen and down she goes. So I would take the money and run and say, you know, it's been a tough 12 months for Adbri shareholders. Someone willing to pay 320 with all the risks. I think it's trading just below 320, so it's not priced with certainty. Certainly not priced for another bid. I would happily sell into whatever it is today, 317 or something, and say thank you very much and find something easier to invest in.
Who complains when you get a takeover bid? Yeah. Especially in a cyclical sector. At, you know, CSR, they bid at 10-year peak prices to pay a premium.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to say thank you.
Well, look at the BHP bid, they're paying peak. But in this case, it's nowhere near peak prices.
That's
so
true.
The inclination will be, oh, hang on to get a bigger multiple. Yeah, don't.
That.
I would
risk it. All right. Adbri, take the money and run.
Take the money and
Let's go to Bapcor. This one has been picked by Ron. So, yeah, let's flesh this out a little bit because is this stock offering deep value now after that big sell-off last week?
You can't make this stuff up. They've got some good brands. I mean, I've looked at the space in the past. Autobahn, Autopro, Burson's, all good businesses with revenue holding up, cost-based, like many companies, and we'll probably see that in the confession conference in the next few days, cost-based, difficult to manage. So another downgrade. What's the second or third? Pretty material downgrades in 8 months. Third downgrade in 8 months. But when the CEO, before he takes the job, looks at something, looks at the books and says, nah, turns around. That should have been for most people, just get me up, get me out at any cost clause. It is difficult to, it is difficult to advocate any investment in this company when the incoming CEO who's got information the public doesn't have turned around and said no, walked out. So I would just say this to sell. It's not cheap enough because we don't know what we don't know. What's the new person coming in going to say? I think there's an interim being appointed. Is the new person going to come in and slash and burn things, take write-downs? Was the guidance legit? Is there further risk? There are just so many alarm bells that you just can't make this stuff up.
So you'd sell it?
I would still sell it at this price and
just get out. Cut your losses if you've been in it. And you're not seeing, Nathan, value in Bapcor right now?
This was, $8 a couple of years ago? And as Phil said, when a senior management person flips days before an update
and it was
and doesn't take the position, he's not worried. I mean, what scares me is it's not worried about the downgrade.
Yeah.
What it's going to take to turn it around.
Yeah.
And obviously, when they're going to hire someone and show them that there is a downgrade coming, they would be on a decent packet to come in to clean this up. And yet he decided to go, nah, I've got a better shot somewhere else. That tells me you should not be there. So at the moment, there's a lot of risk. It's in a downgrade cycle and consumers are struggling. You're just swimming against the tide. Not worth it.
So, okay, let's continue on then. Let's get to Deep Yellow. This has been picked by Christine, and I don't doubt why Christine is asking. Not only have we had a bit of news flow from the company, although the cynic in me says that we've had a lot of news flow lately from all companies
yes.
that have anything to do with uranium, but there is a lot of enthusiasm about the price as well. We heard that a Canadian hedge fund was sniffing around uranium plays here. So you can talk Deep Yellow to start, or Nathan, I am curious to get your view on uranium because there's no denying that there are, you know, growing use cases for it.
Yeah, for me, I think energy is probably one of the few sectors in the world that are actually, I mean, on an aggregate basis, are actually in relative value territory. And it does have a number of pieces to it, so not everything is the same. But I think the baseload energy players are going to remain well supported. You've got geopolitics just adding to the mess, and that has been mostly ignored. So, you know, as with most things, we ignore it till it hits us in the face. So I think the energy risk is definitely there. So we're relatively positive on the baseload players. So we like oil, we like uranium, we like coal, more thermal rather than steel play, because the Chinese steel play still confuses me. There's way too much steel for what's playing out, and iron ore prices probably weaken with that. But in case for uranium, I think it's always political when if you don't have a reactor to push the concept that we want to build a reactor, because the usual argument of, well, we'll put it on your backyard, that is always going to play out. So it's always tough there. But people who already have reactors don't have that problem. So the demand is being relatively consistent, but the supply has gone through a number of issues. Not only the Russian, I suppose the sanctions, again, that I wonder if that is even real in most cases, but anyway.
It took a while, yeah.
And then you got, the acid requirement, which is going towards the fertilizer, so they can't get it as much. And the main player in the world has downgraded supply for a number of times, production side. So in that context, a lot of that fundamentals for uranium has been positive. So we've played it through Paladin. It's in the Ausbil Fantasy portfolio. And it's, you know, Paladin's back at all-time high. So I'm one of those people that looks at some of these things and say, look, while the producers are cheap, I'm going to go to the producer. And so in that context, look, but the reality is when the commodity runs, all ships gets pushed up. And that's where, DYL's playing, Deep Yellow's playing through. And I think that in the current context, they've raised money, so there's no issue of needing more money. Brokers cover it. So in that context, you'll get the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be known. So, you know, if you look at the last week's performers, surprise, surprise, there's a lot of uranium stocks. So I don't think that thematic is going away. So if you're there, happy to hold. I know I have the same psychological problem. I struggle to buy something that's at all-time high. I wouldn't buy Paladin here. But, you know, originally I think we put it in our models at 60 cents. So, you know, it's had a good run. So in that context,
So you couldn't be tempted to buy Deep Yellow?
I think I would be chasing uranium here. But if you're there, I would be happy to hold. If you're looking for, you know, for me, if you're looking at the baseload energy, oil and thermal coal, they still look cheap. They haven't had the run. So I would look at that on the whole overall energy.
And we know you like Karoon. Yeah. Deep Yellow, Philip.
We like uranium as a house, so we're bullish. I think in pretty much all uranium stocks. Some of them do look expensive, some of them have run hard and look fair value to expensive, but that's based on current uranium spot price, which seems to be going up. I mean, it was $60 a ton US not long ago, now $100 a ton. I think our house view is going to $140 a ton. And like all commodities, share prices will follow the commodity prices up. So on the basis of the arguments Nathan just put forward, supply-demand imbalance, we expect the uranium price to continue to increase. and therefore we've got to buy on pretty much every uranium stock. So I'll put a buy on this one. Things to be careful of though, you don't want someone who's got fixed price contracts in the market, because if you've got a contract to sell at $60 a ton, yeah, and the spot's at 100, you're losing money on the hedge book, so you're in some trouble. So as long as they're, I prefer the producers who are unhedged and who are selling into spot. So Paladin Screens, well, Boss Energy,
yeah,
they are priced accordingly, but that they have been the two that the market has run to, Paladin and Boss, because of their size. And
we actually had Boss in the fantasy portfolio. We, yeah, switched from Boss to Paladin, which worked out even better. Sure. So yeah, there you go.
But I think you need to have some uranium if you believe in getting green over the longer term, and this is one way to play it. If you want to, and again, they've already raised money, so that's been de-risked, and it's well in the money from the issue price. So
you'd hold it. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I have to call it a buy based on where our house view.
But you prefer Paladin and Boss
personally. Yeah.
Got it. I was just going to say is, you know how you're saying about data centers, yeah, and so forth, and they require a fair amount of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of chatter is that countries who have uranium and can provide that baseload energy,
yeah,
will be much more positive towards data centers, because, yeah, they can get cheaper energy and they will need
cheaper, cleaner, yeah.
And you're talking about longer term huge data centers, that kind of plays into that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. All right, so let's move on just in the interest of time. Thanks, Christine. And don't forget, this is information only. It is not for your personal circumstances. So you do need to do your own research or get advice. Fifth stock is ImpediMed. This is from Mark. Thanks for the context. He says it provides the only product in the world that measures lymphedema. So he reckons it could provide ImpediMed with a global medical device holding significant global opportunities potentially. So I suppose you need to be somewhat familiar with the technology, but also cognizant that Australia does have some really interesting med tech, and we do have form with some of these listed companies. But is ImpediMed one of them, Philip?
If you believe the analysts that forecast that you could double your money in this stock, if you believe them, I'm cynical. If you look at what is in consensus, it's burning cash for at least 3 more years. So 3 more years before it gets to cash flow break even, that's a long time for a payback. Sure, it might get priced in accordingly. Oh, it's an important space. Is it a big enough space? Is it the be all and end all? I'm going to put it in the too hard basket. If you owned it, hang on to it. Analysts think it's cheap. Analysts think it'll double. It's not a must-own stock. It's not a sell, but you don't need to rush out and buy this one. Buy ResMed, buy CSL, the expected return might be, ResMed's done well ever since in the last couple of weeks with their trading update, despite the wonder drug mm-hmm. scaring everybody, just taking share of its competitors. So there are easier ways to make money in terms of the med tech space, for want of a better phrase. For this one, I think it's too hard for most. It's not a sell, but it's not a must own.
Got it.
Too complex.
Yeah, interesting. I was speaking with Mick Farrell, who's the CEO of ResMed, and when it comes to those GLP-1 drugs, the weight loss drugs, he said it's actually bringing more people into the healthcare system. Okay. And as part of their treatment, they end up also getting told to get put on a sleep apnea device. So he reckons, this is obviously in his interest, but he reckons that it's actually a positive thing, these weight loss drugs, for this the technology. Ooh. Anyhow, back to ImpediMed.
Interesting. The market always gets carried away. When it first came out, it's like end of ResMed.
Yeah.
And now ResMed is everything. You take what's from that. ImpediMed's interesting in the context. I agree with everything Phil said. It is an interesting play. It has been on a downgrade cycle. It's covered by two brokers, right? So it's not like people don't know about this stock. A new broker initiated on this stock about a week ago. Yeah, just over a couple of weeks ago. Now, you take what Phil just said and put that in context, they're going to raise money, right?
Yes, this is Mathan's cynical take that if you see a broker initiate coverage, it's because they want the business.
For 30 years, it's been a proven factor. You've got a stock that's underperforming and it's not going to make profit. It will need to raise money. New broker comes in. And the reality is the existing broker, you probably burnt a few clients because it's underperforming. So the new guy's come in and he's trying to play part of it. So there's cap raising at some point, right? And the stock's done updates, operational changes, all of these things, and it's not getting the share price to turn around. So you are playing against the tide. It's tough. I do like this sector. Because it's kind of like a junior miner. You have that risk return, high risk, high return. So you do take that. So you're not investing in this stock. This is not your, you know, CSL or Telstra. So you're risking in a high risk play. So in that area, so it is high risk. You have to trust management. Look, you've taken a fair hit already. But the way I would look at it is the broker who was covering it has cut down to 14 cents. The new broker's put 16 cents. You're not, you know, you're buying something I want 2-3 times to even make me look at some of these stocks. So in that context, I think there's going to be tough times. So it's going to be tough. I can't put fresh money in it. But if you're there, you're a high risk person. So you're probably going to be holding it for a while and hoping for a turn. And I kind of feel sorry for you because I've been there. It's hard mentally to let go of something after you've lost money in it. But I think it'll be a tough ride. It's going to take a while for it to turn around. And the market currently does not want to pay for loss-making businesses. And you've had a great tech run. So, you know, the underperforming, loss-making growth stories have done really well. And that cycle is kind of running out as interest rates remain high for longer. So these companies will be struggling and they will raise and you'll get diluted and you'll get angry. But the reality is they don't care. So
you could participate in the raise.
But I know, but you're not a fund manager. You're playing with your own money. You probably won and you'll probably get diluted. So I would say, you know, sometimes I find psychologically it is better for me to get rid of it, move on, and don't have to see it in my Excel spreadsheet telling me I'm losing money. So maybe that's a good thing.
All right. So I'm going to call that a sell.
Yeah.
Get out of impediment, according to Nathan. Okay, so let's just review what we've learned in this first half hour of the program, which has gone quite quickly. All right, Grain Corp. Both of my guests actually said that considering the size of the downgrade, look, the share price reaction is not that severe. So it tells us that the market is already looking ahead to what will be a better 2025, likely for Grain Corp. And given that the market did know that there were challenges in that sector. So it's a hold for both of my guests, although Nathan prefers rural funds or elders. It's a hold. All right. Endeavor Group. It's a sell from both of my guests. I think Philip called it yesterday's sector. And Nathan just really points to the difficulty for hospitality as consumers around the world really pull back. Why would Endeavor be immune? Adbri, take the money and run, was from both of my guests. Of course, there's an offer on the table. I think it's from an Irish company, just going by memory. Bapcor, alarm bells, too many alarm bells, a cacophony of alarm bells, you could say, according to Philip. He would sell it. Nathan would sell it as well. Too much uncertainty in Nathan's view. Deep Yellow. Now, both of my guests see the merit in, you know, the uranium narrative. But when it comes to Deep Yellow, whilst it is fully funded, Nathan just finds it difficult to buy companies that are trading at their all-time highs. Really bullish at Shawn Partners on uranium. But Philip is putting a buy on Deep Yellow. His preferred picks personally are Paladin and Boss Energy. And then Impediment, you just heard what the guys had to say, sell and hold. Hold was Philip Pepe from Shawn Partners. All right, so we've got the investment committee, the new edition going live on Tuesday. Camplify was sold, Woolworths, Soul Pats, Macquarie trimmed, BHP, this is going into April. And so far the fund is up by 29.36% on a cumulative return basis. Nathan's giving himself a little pat on the shoulder since March 2022. So like how it works, in case you don't know, is you send in the request to us, we discuss it on this program. If it gets a double buy, we send it to the investment committee. They have a chat, decide whether it should go into the portfolio. Likewise, if there's a double sell for a company already in the portfolio, which doesn't happen often, but we will again put it to the committee and say, look guys, you know, what's fundamentally changed here? What should we do? So yeah, tomorrow after market close, the new episode will be up online. All right, let's get to some of these other companies. Austin Engineering, Acro. We might revisit some of the thematics that we discussed with Southern Cross then in these ones. We've got Credit Corp, Asset Vision, and Star Entertainment, which of course has been a basket case. But let's get on to Austin Engineering. And this one has been picked by Nate. I'm going to start with you on this one, Philip.
I think it's a buy. Surprise, surprise. I cover the stock, full disclosure. It's a mining services company. It sells, think of a dump truck, it sells the buckets that go out the back.
We've talked about this. Yeah. So they can keep selling.
And trays, so they keep selling. It's
the recycle.
It's the Gillette razor analogy. The truck lasts about 10 years and the tray, you get about two or three of them in a 10-year cycle. So as long as people keep mining, which they appear to be, you've got to replace the trays because they're a wear product, and same with the buckets. So they had a good announcement. So they've been doing trays for a number of years. That's been their sweet spot in terms of their product. They spend their R&D on the actual tray, whereas someone like Caterpillar focuses on the whole package, with Austin's a specialist tray manufacturer. And last year they bought a business called Maintech, which does buckets. And they've announced, it was an Australian business, they've announced their successful sale into Chile of their first bucket. So second bucket offshore.
Yes, there first was one. That news.
Yeah, so that's driven by copper. So Chile, big copper producer. Copper price has gone through $10,000 a pound or something like that. Big, big demand for copper products in Chile, and Austin basically put out a trading update saying we're selling product, more and more products into Chile. Our Chilean business or the South American business is doing very well, and that was actually quite well received. For the full year across their whole business, they've guided to profit growth of around 75% at the midpoint. So the company is guided to FY24 NPAT growth of 75%, trading on 8x PE. How many companies can you, and pays a dividend. So how many companies have you got single digit PE growing at 75%? That does not come to a grinding halt next year. They've won a material contract with what they're referring to as an original equipment manufacturer. In that announcement, $7 million worth of work starting for Chile. That OEM is a small company called Caterpillar Limited. So Caterpillar's just signed up to buy some Austin components. So if Caterpillar's saying, okay, we've got our own trays, but we want to outsource some of them to Austin. That is a major, major stamp of approval from the largest player in the market. So for me, this company is a compelling buy. So I will reiterate the Shaw Partners. It's information only. For information purposes, I think it's a buy. I would be buying this, and I think there'll be more news to come with their four-year result.
Now, will these two disagree? There's been a lot of agreement between these two. Are you going to question Philip's thesis, his analysis on this company?
Hey, he's covered this for a while. Even when we worked together back in the day, he covered this.
Where did you guys work together? Do you mind me asking?
Blue Ocean.
Blue Ocean Equities.
Yeah. So I've been around a few.
Nathan taught me everything on you.
It should have taken about 10 minutes. Yeah, look, his thematic even back then was the similar, and it took a long time for the replacement. The damn thing nearly put me to sleep. Because I had a PA and I think I got in at 14 cents. I actually remember because it took so bloody long to play it. I was 14 cents and then it's like replacement and you know, costs were high, inflation. So people just kept on fixing it themselves, keeping the trays for longer. It's like, for the love of God, buy the new tray. And it took time. And then when it did, it went bang. So it, you know, double, triple. So you had that run. So I made money, so I'm happy. But it does, all of these things take longer than what you think. And the copper play, you know, it's surprise. Newmont buys Newcrest for copper exposure.
BHP takes out Osmin,
Anglo-American.
But I mean, we've talked about Evolution. Data centers a few times now. Yeah. You know, like data centers require so much copper.
That's right. So the people didn't buy into it, and then everyone suddenly jumped on the copper thing. And you go, wow, copper had a huge run at a time when global growth is actually falling. Mm-hmm. Like, data guys are just losing hair on these things, right? And so oil is underperforming, copper is going through the roof. I'm going, that just doesn't happen, right? So we're in weird times. And so, you know, go
back to Austin Engineering.
For Austin Engineering, for me, I think copper is just too much optimism priced in. Things can turn on you. I think if you've been there, you've done really well. I would not be selling. I would hold because the thematic still holds. But fresh money, chasing, I think you wouldn't. I mean, the sector is doing well. I wouldn't be chasing it. For me, it's a hold because I'm just, may call me naive, but I tend to be a bit more circumspect in these things when they run too hard because everyone thinks it always keeps running. So I think you should be holding if you're there. I wouldn't put fresh money in it. It's had a good run and everyone knows it.
Can always be right.
Agree to disagree, let's say that. And I'm going to go to you on the next company on the list. It's like our viewers Must know you've got form with some of these because we've got Acro. You cover Acro.
Pun intended, form work company.
This is for Tilly. You're welcome.
There you go. I do cover Acro, another company I like. We've also got a buy on it. This is for information purposes. Again, related to construction, they provide form work. So any building, any form of construction, they do the scaffolding, they do the an engineer, they do the molds to it's a small cap.
Yeah.
They do the molds to build the tunnel. So they're working on Snowy Mountain project, a lot of infrastructure around the country. A ton of work out there, you know, several hundred billions of dollars worth of construction work. They are on a lot of construction sites. The good thing about their model, the scaffolding, etc., they sell or rent. Once it's on site, they get paid per day. Rain, hail, shine, you rent the equipment off them, and in more and more cases, they are custom designing this equipment to deal with Australian weather patterns. Mm-hmm. Quite often, people buy stuff from Europe and put it in Australia, but the heat just destroys it. So they're customizing more and more to deal with Australian climate, and it's a daily rate. Once it's out on site, rain, hail, shine, whether people are working or not, they get the they get the revenue, and they're growing through acquisitions, and they made a couple this year. That's contributing to, they've guided to EBITDA growth in FY24 of between 31% to 40%. So again, strong growth at the EBITDA line, even more at the NPAT line. It's on 9x PE. So again, people are questioning, this year's good, what does next year look like? There's so much work in the pipeline, you expect the guidance for next year to be even stronger or continued growth. So for me, we like this space, we like this company. For me, it's a buy because we're expecting a solid end to the year and a solid outlook statement for FY25.
And not too expensive, right, Nathan?
Yeah, that just means everyone knows. it's a great stock. It's actually done really well. It's not, you know, they're not curing cancer. It's a simple stuff, but it's effective. And they've done really well. The stock's run, doubled in the last year and a half. And I think it's done, you know, the whole sector has done well, the services sector. And this is one of them. And it's done really well. They've given guidance, a week ago? They confirmed the guidance.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have a risk in the short term. Going into reporting season, that's probably the big risk for the market with these stretch multiples. So that's a positive. For a small cap, you know, when you have guidance, you've got at least a decent outlook that your risk is low. So I think it looks okay. Plenty of brokers cover it. So, you know, there shouldn't be any shock. So I think it's okay. I think even though the multiple is cheap, but then everyone's positive, but I think it's worth it. This is one where I don't actually mind chasing because you've got the confirmation that the outlook is fine. So you're not going to get shot down in the next couple of months into the reporting season, which is important in this market. So I think this one is okay. I will actually chase this one purely because it's on an upgrade cycle. You've got confirmed. It's in the right sector.
This is a double buy.
Yeah.
I feel honored.
I know, but I actually think there are, you know, as we said before, there are some parts of the market are doing extremely well where the market has done nothing in 3 years. So if you ignore those areas, you're not going to outperform, and this is outperforming.
Well, we want outperformance. Yeah. That's what we want. All right, let's find out what the next on the list is. And this one, we do have some context. This is from Steve, and he names you, Nathan. It's Credit Corp. He says, Nathan has previously discussed this. And given the misstep that Credit Corp made in the first half of 2024, do you, Nathan, feel they've managed to address their strategy in the United States? And is the credit market there also supportive of the growth they're anticipating? Additionally, it seems that the Australian PDL market has not recovered. So this is give us the update, give us your take.
Look, they're the best player in the market. I mean, that's a very low benchmark because everyone else blown out.
This is true.
They are very good. Yeah. Their growth story is all about US. Australia is a balancing effect. This was my, I think what the viewer is calling to, this is my best short at the end of 2021. And it still is. Because the whole play here is you need to see rate cuts, right? Once the rate cuts come in, people can afford to take a bit of a breather. People can afford to pay back some of the problems. These guys deal on debt. They're very good at it. They're just in a bad cycle. So, market wants to guess that the cycle has turned. So we get these bounces and then they get sold down. And we've just had a bounce. We got close to $20 and it's getting pulled back. I think there'll be a buying time coming in the next 6 months. Not right now. I think interest rates, I know everyone wants to get the spin that there's going to be cuts. We had 6 to 7 cuts at the start of this year. We're down to 1 to 2. That non-farm payroll, it was 1 to 2 before, it's 1 to 2 after. It makes no difference, right? So we're going to have rates on hold for a period of time. Economy will slow, consumers will struggle, and credit cope with it. So in the short term, I think credit cope goes lower. But in the next 6 months, I think you will get an opportunity to buy. I'd be targeting somewhere around $10 to $12. If it gets down there, I'd be buying the crap out of it, and it'll look like Ukraine. It'll look like it's been bombed out. But that is the time to buy it, and no one wants to talk about it right now. Mm-hmm. So that's the opportunity.
But you wait for an upgrade to come through? You wait for that initial
I think the management is good enough that I would back it. In the pandemic, it got down to 10 bucks, right? If it gets to 10 to 12 bucks, I'm not really fussed. I'm happy to buy it and have a 1 to 2 year time frame.
Okay. What do you think, Philip?
Yeah, I don't disagree too much. There's nothing suggesting to rush out and buy today. Again, looks cheap versus, it's well covered. So it looks cheap versus analyst forecast. Westpac's result today suggests consumer isn't struggling. Their provisions were less than 9 basis points. So there's, you expect not a lot of stock to come on board in Australia, home base for them, and it'll be competitively tendered anyway, well, they have a dominant position in Australia. So they're gonna go in the US, and US you got 30-year fixed rate mortgages. They're just not struggling like we are over here. Cost of living's gone up, but their mortgages haven't gone up because they're 30-year fixed. So competition for their books, because they buy their revenue, mm-hmm. wouldn't have lessened since their first half results. So not sure how well the second half result will be received, although that's probably in the price. So intuition says all the negative news is probably in the price. But what's going to get the re-rate? And Nathan's right, you're probably going to need some interest rate cuts. And we've discussed this before. Ain't none coming this year. I don't know what people are looking at, but the data I was seeing wasn't suggesting any rate cuts this year. And people are finally capitulating. So for me, this is a next year story. You don't need to sell it if you don't own it. But the good news is probably a calendar 25 story. Probably not a lot in 24, unless someone takes it out. But put a low probability on it.
Sorry to digress.
Okay.
But you've looked at this stock for a long time, so it's actually a good question. Do you think someone would? Because it's a science project.
It's someone in the US who wanted the Aussie book. I mean, no one in Australia can take it off.
Yeah, yeah.
They bought all the duds in Australia.
Okay.
Someone in the US, maybe, but...
But you wouldn't be buying on that hope?
No.
No, you never buy crap stock on a hope of a takeover. Not this is a crap stock.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of
that. We'll come to one.
They are very good management, though. I would back them. That's why I said, mm-hmm. if it gets to 10 to 20, 12 bucks, you buy it, because this is classic cyclical. It will move a lot when things turn.
All right, so there you go, Credit Corp, number 9 on the list. This is for Sean again. Thanks for the perspective. He says, I'm looking for a specky micro stock in the tech sector, so tick, tick, to put some money into. I'm not bothered about the illiquidity of the stock because I will be only risking a very small fraction of my portfolio. I'm interested in any thoughts the panel might have, and that is on Asset Vision. ASV is the ticker code. So I like that he's given us, you know, the parameters, right? This is what he's in the market for. He wants a specky small cap tech stock, micro cap actually. So this is a group that provides technology that allows you to manage your assets. So, you know, out in the field, you can, you know, it's workflow, it's everything. It's photos of poles and wires and roads and all the rest of it. Good story, Philip.
Reminds me a little of Nearmap, very early stages, a 10, 11 mil market cap. You put the device under your car, you drive over some potholes, it takes the photos and the local government knows they need to fix the potholes. It's interesting. It is highly speculative, not making any money, 11 mil market cap, easy to get in. Good luck trying to get out. I'd have a small punt. I mean, they got some, look at who their clients are, New South Wales Transport, Victorian Government, South Australia Government, WA Government, Ventia. They got 3 mil in annual recurring revenue, so they're getting some money, 4.5 mil net assets, so people are paying a premium for it. It's probably not cheap. They're in a good space. I mean, in terms of the other sectors I cover, asset maintenance is a big expenditure item. Like more and more customers, more and more asset owners want to maintain their assets because prevention is better than cure, just like in humans. So they help their larger customers keep an eye on their assets through taking the digital photos for them, and they can fix things as they need to be fixed, or hopefully if they realize there's a crack in something, they can fix it beforehand. So I don't mind the space it's in. How do you evaluate finger in the air? If they keep winning more contracts or they keep announcing more contracts, it'll follow that up. If they don't win any, it'll drift sideways and get bought. So I'll call it a speculative buy because they seem to have some IP in the right bigger sector that I like, asset maintenance. Other than that, yeah, it's very speculative.
Mm-hmm. So
buy, spec buy.
Specky buy.
Specky buy.
Yeah, at 10 mil, it's specky, all
it's
right?
Specky.
It's interesting enough. I'll give him that. I mean, he knows what it is. It's not like he's not buying, you know, Altium here. So he knows what he's buying. He's taking the risk. And you really have to trust management when it's like this. It's basically you either make multiples or you lose everything. That's pretty much what you're playing at. You have to trust management. And interestingly, there are some small cap fund managers are in there with tiny holdings. And that tells me there is certain interest in the market that they have the potential to be something. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth the risk return. I think there's a punt there, but this could take years, right? So it's not going to happen tomorrow. I can't see a catalyst that's going to dramatically change it unless they do something, you know, on a technological side. But yeah, it's. I think what the viewer wants to take on as a risk return, I think it makes sense. But the time frame in this market might be a bit longer than what it was in the last 5 years. So just be careful that you have to have a bit longer time frame. But yeah, I mean, you're willing to lose everything for something that could potentially be a multi-bagger. I think this one's okay.
Well, there you go. Everybody has a different style. Everybody's right. Looking for something different. And Sean was very clear about what he was looking for in this stock. So Asset Vision, a specky buy from both of my guests. Let's get to the lucky last on the list, or unlucky, particularly when you're talking about Star Entertainment, picked by Rick. I mean, I shouldn't even say luck. Luck has something to do with it when you're talking gaming, actually playing the games. But this is a case of just really poor management, poor risk management, poor corporate governance. Like if there's another poor that you could put on top of it, that would be Star Entertainment. Poor share price performance. Would you touch it with a 10-foot pole?
See, the statement I really want to make is, you know, the house always wins. Not always.
Yeah. and
you know, we've finally found a case where the house doesn't actually win. It is such a mess that I mean, everyone knows the mess. I honestly don't know how it can get worse. But, you know, I've said that before about other stocks.
I know, it has got worse.
And it gets worse.
So
right?
I think that I don't want to, you know, speak for Rick, but there are those that, like, right from when the bad news started to come to the fore saying, but it also has property. You know, there is some value in this group. So at 44 cents,
Does
that offer value?
I think this has almost got to the tech. You know, like the ASV, it's almost that kind of a play. Sure, I'll put a bit of money in it, and I'm, you know, it's a high risk punt where I could lose everything. But if it turns around, I could be a multi-bagger. And that's what you're betting on here. I honestly cannot do a valuation on this. I have no idea how this is going to play out. I don't know what the model is going to be. But the reality is, if people were just going by the law, most of these places would have been shut down by now. So the fact that they haven't been shut down tells me that the government is probably wants to keep some part of it because the employment part of it is important for governments. And everyone has casinos, you know, for whatever reasons you want to play with. So it's a risk return, just like a casino. It's a risk return. This one, I think you're playing almost the same case as a microcap tech stock where you can make a multi-bagger or you lose your money. I think that's not a bad play because of what you just said. It's got property. Everyone is having casinos. They're not going to suddenly shut it down because it's employment. So in that context, there is a case to be made that this will bounce. And if it bounces, you could make multiple of it. So there is that risk. But at the same time, you could lose everything and it gets shut down. And I don't know one way or another. So the viewer's correct in assuming, you know, if you're a high-risk investor and you want to take that punt, I actually think it's not bad. It's ugly. But mind you, I would have said the same thing at $2.
Yep.
And a lot of people told me the same thing at $2. And I just went, you know, my process just tells me to run away. So I didn't. But it looks the same. And honestly, I do not know what could go wrong with it. And it could, more things could go wrong with it. But that's the argument. The argument would be on the positive side is if it doesn't blow up, it could go multi.
Yeah, they've got a new, you know, exactly. They're searching for a new chair of the board. They're searching for a new CEO.
They're looking for new everything.
Yeah. So are we putting a specky buy on that?
I would actually put it on that. Yeah.
It's
I know.
It's a sell. My understanding is there's still inquiries ongoing. There's still potential penalties to come. Why would you get in front of that? I think they'll be made an example of. They're not going to shut down, but who's going to own it? Who's going to operate
it? It potentially could be similar to Crown.
Yeah.
You'd get a private equity come in and say, we new management, it gets flushed to someone else, and they'll go, oh, look, it's 40 cents, I'll pay 50 cents and take it out. And they'll all go, yeah, it's too hard, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's still a decent play. I mean, of course, if you were holding it all this time, it looks like a shocker. But if you are looking at it freshly right now, I think that is like what happened to Crown. I think that could be the playbook to get a management change and restructure and rebuild.
It's easier ways to make
money. I know.
All right. We're going to agree to disagree on that one as well, because we're at the end of the program. All right. Austin Engineering, it is a buy. For Philip Pepe, he covers this one. Think the Gillette razor analogy, but look, Nathan's a little bit more wary. He wouldn't be putting fresh money in it, but he would hold it if you have it. Acro, it is a buy from both of my guests that will be going to the investment committee. So Nathan is saying he will chase this one. The risk is very low. We know, you know, the company's disclosed, and yeah, Philip likes it. It's a buy. Credit Corp, this is a not yet. It's a next year story in Philip's view. Nathan's put a price on it. If you see that get down to between $10 and $12, buy it with your ears pinned back, because that means that the cycle is changing. So maybe in the next 6 months or so. Asset Vision, a specky buy from both of my guests. Sean, you know what you want. You're looking for a micro cap. They warn that this might take long, or longer than you might think it take, but they are willing to put a little bit of your speculative cash into that. And that is the same story for Nathan when it comes to Star Entertainment, but not so for Philip, who says he would sell. Run the other way. All right, guys, that was good. Philip Pepe from Sean Partners, as always, good to see you.
Thank
and Nathan Somsendam from Deep Data Analytics. They know each other well, and I think they showed it as well. They work together very well. Thank you for all of your stock submissions. ausbiz.co/callpicks. That's the program for today. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more to come on markets, ausbiz.com.au.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.